And then you're starting to build that momentum for change, because you, the individual, then speak to somebody else, who speaks to somebody else, who speaks to somebody else. So if I get called the F word or the P word when I'm out and about boxing or training, you're going to say, wait a minute, that's not right. Martin's my friend. This is the impact homophobia has on an individual. And you're shaping and changing the other person. So with any movement, it's always going to be a sense of community, a sense of belonging, and a sense of identity.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand.life show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand.live show. I'm Ben Baker. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. Thank you for joining me each and every week. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for commenting on everything that I do on LinkedIn. I love the fact that you guys support me each and every week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, this is a repeat performance. How many of you people out there, and I want, you know, show of hands, virtually, whatever you want to do, have a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, this pie in the sky, I think I can do X. And you know what? I'm just going to run towards that. Well, that's what Martin Stark has done. Martin was on this show 2 years ago, almost to the day, and we were talking about the World Gay Boxing Championships. And back then, you know what? I talked to Martin. I went, you know what? This is a BHAG. This is something that's out there, but it may happen. It may not happen. But we're getting real close to this becoming reality. So, Martin, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ben. Thank you for inviting me back and to have another conversation with you. Just want to start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land where I currently am, the Gammeraygal Eagle people, paying my respect to all elders past, present, and future. I'd like to extend that respect to all Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, and First Nations people.
I love that. Now, I forget, are you in Sydney or are you in Melbourne?
No, I'm in Sydney.
You're in Sydney. You're proper Australia. So it's that Southern Horn. It's that beautiful area of the world that I keep trying to get down to. We're going to get me down there one of these days. And, you know, maybe it's going to be February 18th to the 22nd, 2023. You know, we got to figure out a way to get me down there for the boxing championships. Maybe we could get a whole bunch of, you know, podcast interviews going, but who knows what's going to happen? That's going to be, you know, something to seriously talk about.
Definitely, mate. You have to come down here. I mean, the last 2 years have been quite tough in Australia. We've been pretty much left to ourselves, but we were a resilient bunch. We're a resilient mob working things through. Sydney's a beautiful city. If I walk right out of my street, I can see the Harbour Bridge and Opera House in about 10 minutes. If I walk left, there's a beautiful beach 10 minutes to my left. So I'm in a pretty prime spot.
Well, I can't wait to come down there and have a pint with you. So let's talk about the World Gay Boxing Championships and the impetus. Now, for people who are really interested in this, you know, the first episode, I'm going to put a link to this in Martin's episode at yourlivingbrand.live show. So I'll put a link. You can scroll back and you can find it almost 2 years ago, but I'll put a link in this show notes so you can hear our original conversation. But I want to talk to you about where have you been from there to now and what have you learned? Because I think the lessons learned are almost as important as the journey itself.
So 2 years ago, when I thought this is going to be a great idea, everyone's going to get on board. And I think in our original conversation, I said we're going to host the championships in February 2022, which probably should be in a few weeks' time from this being recorded. Biggest lesson is to really still believe in your vision, your dream, have your plan. Because with any plan, you can adapt, you can change. When we had our conversation, we didn't even think about COVID. We didn't even think about what the world was going to go through. But still, my why, which was to disrupt homophobia, transphobia, hatred in sport, and provide opportunities for everybody to participate in a safe and friendly environment. None of that has changed. That is still the same belief why I'm doing this. So really understanding why are you doing something? You know, what your purpose is, what your audience, what the impact is going to be. That should be key for any goal, but also a big, hairy, audacious goal. The other key learning was the importance of relationships. you think we became friends about 3 years ago and you kind of invited me onto your podcast. And if anyone wants to think the impact of this one podcast, I was interviewed by Reuters a few months later. And I think they were reporting this, some of the quotes in their article, and it was certainly reported in Out.com, which is one of the biggest LGBTQ publications and media organizations in the world. So your ability to get other opportunities through having a conversation or one conversation is something you can never underestimate. So keep communicating, being consistent. But the relationships I've built within here, within Boxing Australia, Boxing New South Wales, who are the amateur bodies within my country and state, they're helping me organize the championships. Also forge relationships with the World Boxing Council, World Boxing Association, IBO, International Boxing Organization, and also the World Boxing Organization. I'm just a person in Sydney. I just emailed and was able to get statements of support from the biggest world boxing bodies in the whole globe. So never underestimate your power of an individual to communicate and connect with people.
Well, and that's an amazing thing that we think about, is that the world has become so much smaller, and the opportunity to reach out to people on a more level basis has become easier and easier. I mean, when you and I first met, as you said, about 3 years ago, we just met through LinkedIn. I honestly don't even remember who first introduced us, but I have probably 300 plus connections now through LinkedIn. And a lot of them over the last 3 years have been people that I've met through you. And I've had lots of connections. I've had lots of great guests on the show. I've made lots of relationships. We've done some great business together. And a lot of it comes through of just understanding the power of connections and the power of communication. So I really agree with you 100% that as an individual, we need to be able to sit there and go, you know what? This is my goal. This is my objective. This is what I do. This is what I can do myself. This is what I can't do myself. Who do I need to align myself with? How do I go about do that? So my question to you is, how did you go about building those relationships? Because as you said, as you start off as a single person with this big, huge idea and being able to create the ability to align yourself and bring other people in the vision. So how did you bring people into your vision and enable them to understand that your vision was their vision too?
I think the biggest learning was just having simple and consistent communication. I was writing about this. I was posting on LinkedIn about this. I was just sharing why, and people got the why pretty much straight. Either you kind of got it, you didn't understand a few questions and you really understood, but people soon wanted to help. And it's working with those people who want to help in a meaningful way. So I have a wonderful board who've all committed their time and effort and energy to make this happen. I have a board with unique skill sets required to operate a not-for-profit and deliver an event like for example, Flavia D'Souza is my lawyer. She came and helped set up the Not-for-Profit Association. Jenny Vaz is an executive coach. She's done an amazing job nurturing and cultivating the global LGBTQ WGBC community. Sharon White got an extensive consulting background. He's been helping with the project plan, the business plan. We have Paul Johnson, extensive CFO background, worked in this space, helping with the business plan, the financial plan. So helping me to deliver an event which has never happened before, bringing their unique skill set, but their passion, energy, and expertise. From that, other people who, there are so many thank yous. I'm just going to say a big thank you to everybody, but have come on board to help, shared the message, invited me to be on their podcast. Once we had created the not-for-profit, had a very simple vision, I approached Boxing Australia. And within 2 weeks, the board of Boxing Australia had voted to support and help us organise the championships and issued a press release. Built great relationships with my friends within Boxing New South Wales, who have the referees and judges and officials to enable the championships to take place. Think about all the policies and the procedures. Well, for me, who's been in boxing a few years, the idea of writing all of that from scratch is just an absolute nonsense. But that already exists because amateur boxing competitions happen all over the world all of the time. So working with the framework, which it exists, building relationships with people who can help deliver and run your event, the most important thing is to communicate, develop their rapport, and enable that to happen. So that was, I think the main learning was building and cultivating the relationships and just moving that forward.
And I think with that is having the trust in these people that you know that they have your best interest and the interest of the idea at heart, you know, because that's the thing is being able to share a vision in such a way that other people believe it and they feel that they belong to it. You know, that long list of people that you created and that you just did are amazing people that have rolled up their sleeves and said, you know what? I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this because this is something that needs to happen. And this is something that is bigger than me. It's bigger than Martin. It's bigger than, you know, a small group of people. And it's going to affect a larger community that's going to have a tidal wave effect. And I think that every movement has to start small, has to have a core group of people that believe in the power of the vision, that believe in that, in this goal and this, you know, this audacity of being able to start something that is going to be a world gay boxing championship and take that idea and make it reality. So when you're putting this team together and you're looking at the experiences and the abilities of individuals, how have you been able to cultivate these people? Were these individual relationships you already had, or were these people that you met through other people and said, help, I'm looking for the skill set. Who do you know?
These were individual relationships that I had. So then through communicating, catching up, a lot of people say, I want to help, I want to help, but maybe do not know how they can help at a certain point in time, or I need help with this. Can you do Y? And it's like, oh, I don't have as much time at the moment. I like people when they're lukewarm. When they're lukewarm, you kind of know when they're wanting to do something. But the board have come on pretty much straight away. Yes, I'm going to help you with this, committed their time. And so many other people have done that. And their support has been consistent. Their involvement has been consistent. Their ability to participate has been consistent. And that's how you build that movement. We talk about allyship. Talked about allyship for the LGBTQ plus, the global majority, minoritized communities for many, many years. And you see people consistently speaking up, helping out, supporting, creating that impetus for change. So it's building that tribe, it's building that momentum. There'll be people who can maybe give you a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, do some unique tasks, which is absolutely fantastic, because sometimes you need that one introduction. You need that one piece of advice to enable you to get to from X to Y, from A to B. So people can help in many different ways. But I think if it comes from the heart and you really believe in what somebody is doing, especially in this space, imagine if I were the world's biggest boxing promoter and I wanted to host the World Gay Boxing Championships. It would be much easier to go and do that because I've already got the money. Can I just go and do that? Starting it from scratch, you have to build everything up. But I think that's where the beauty of humanity comes in. You helped me learn the lesson of changing hearts and minds. You call out statistics, you call out behaviors, you call about what's happened to individuals. And most people have deep levels of empathy, but they're not sure what to go and do next. But when you start getting people involved, this is how you can help. This is how you can make a difference. Start from a place of inclusion. Take people where they're currently at and guide them to how they can then go to the next level with their own journey of courage or their own journey of inclusion. And then you start to build that momentum for change because you, the individual, then speak to somebody else who speaks to somebody else who speaks to somebody else. So if I get called the F word or the P word when I'm out and about boxing or training, you're going to say, wait a minute, that's not right. Martin's my friend. This is the impact homophobia has on an individual. And you're shaping and changing the other person. So with any movement, it's always going to be a sense of community, a sense of belonging, and a sense of identity.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcast. hostforhire.com, and let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. And that's interesting when you're creating that community, and you alluded to this, is that there are going to be some people that are going to be your core members, the people that are bought in, that are drinking the Kool-Aid, that absolutely are rolling up their sleeves and say, what's next? What can I do next? How can I help? Have you thought of this? And then there's the majority of people that go, oh, that's kind of cool what Martin's doing. Oh, it's interesting, but I got my life to live. And it's a matter of being able to utilize all of those people for what their ability to give is. Because some people, as you said, have done amazing, incredible things for you. And some people, all they've been able to do is make a phone call or, you know, make an introduction, but they're all valuable. So my question is how have you gone about enabling these people to feel that whatever level they are, that they are part of the movement? Because that's how this thing is going to build and how the snowball is going to happen in the tidal wave. It's by more and more people feeling that they're part of the movement, no matter how small a piece of the puzzle that they are. How are you going about enabling other people to feel that they belong?
So the main thing comes back to the relationships. So built a global WGBC community. We have over 70, about 75 people who have registered throughout the world. Enable the conversation. I've consistently communicated the why. I was interviewed by a news station in Australia a few months ago. I've been interviewed by CNN. So I've had some considerable media coverage. At the same time, some people want to help. To the extent this is what they do, and sometimes you just need to kind of fit in within the scope of what they do, and it might not be the right help at this point in time. So it's about engaging in conversation and listening, saying, well, I don't need this at the moment, maybe at a future stage. It could be having a 5-minute conversation. With my fight, which took place in December last year, I should have been fighting on the 26th of June, but we had an extensive lockdown in Sydney due to COVID. But I was training with an amazing group of people with some awesome coaches and trainers. And we just bonded as a group. So I have a rare autoimmune condition, Addison's disease. The trainers and other participants were aware of when to push and when I needed to step back. So there could have been a heavy training session and it could have been sparring, doing sparring run. But if I needed to take a break, that wasn't a problem at all. It's like, do you need more water or all of those other bits? So there's that level of care, concern and friendship. So just saying thank you, inviting people to join you, or just being able to say, these are the particular things that we need right now. A great example is a good friend, Tony, who has extensive experience within boxing. He's been involved in amateur boxing for many, many years. He's a proud gay man. He has been able to write our operations manual and guides and just has that level of boxing, which I don't have. And then enable conversations with our friends in boxing Australia and boxing New South Wales. One of the main judges in Australia has helped on the boxing program and did a whole matrix for us. So those conversations, this person has unique skill set and dedicated some days and hours to doing a matrix for us. I didn't have that skill set. He had that skill set. He just cares enough about the sport. He cares enough about the community to donate a certain piece of time to do a certain task, which we needed. So sometimes it's been able to think, how can it benefit you at the same time as benefit me? And I use the phrase of being selfish and generous. You know, what's in it for me, but also what's in it for you? Because you can always give, you can also give, but what do you get in return? Whereas if you can help yourself and help others, that really is a win-win outcome.
Well, it's, you know, I wish I could remember the Zig Ziglar quote. It says, you could have everything that you want in life, you know, if you help other people get what they want. And I'm paraphrasing it, but it really truly says if you help other people succeed, it's amazing how that comes back to you. Now, you talked about 75 core people around the world. I'm assuming that those people have been empowered and enabled to be able to build their own teams.
So just to clarify, 75 people have registered for to participate in the championships.
So oh, okay. Gotcha.
Five boxes, yes.
Yeah. You have 75 people that have registered to be part of the championships in there. But those people themselves are becoming ambassadors for the brand.
Exactly.
Within their own country.
You know, they already was in the LGBTQ boxing community before I started speaking in this space. There are clubs all over the world. So we've been able to connect with people who are already involved in the sport who may have been part of an LGBTQ boxing club or are just boxers or have just seen what we've put out there. Through our Facebook page, through Instagram, through our website, through all the communications. And they're empowered. We have a person from the LGBTQ plus community in Sri Lanka and I can't publicly say too much about this person, but they're comfortable for me to speak about them in general. One of my friends from the Australian boxing community heard me speak of this individual and said, basically the story was, this person had bought their first pair of boxing gloves and was so excited. And when I mentioned this, my friend said, wait a minute, I can send them some boxing wraps and some other boxing gear. So we were able to establish the rapport. And so this person now has some training gear from a very close boxing friend here in Australia. So you can imagine somebody who just saved up to buy their first pair of boxing gloves, very, very excited. And then through an incredible and personal, what I would call advocacy over allyship, able to continue and progress their training because somebody has sent some boxing gear over to them in Sri Lanka to continue to progress what they're doing. And for me, that's what the heart of this movement is all about.
Well, it's all about community. It's all about coming together as a community and realizing that we're all stronger together. The more we help each other, the more it elevates the thing, more the awareness becomes, and the better it is for everybody. So it's amazing when people who have very little give of themselves to help somebody who has even less. So it's an incredible thing. And that is how a movement's built. So I want to shift gears a little bit because every movement has a challenge. Every goal has challenges. It's not, I woke up yesterday morning, I said I'm going to create the World Gay Boxing Championships, and tomorrow it's going to be there, and it's a financial and physical success. There are major challenges that happen with any organization and any movement. What are the biggest challenges that you can remember, and how are you able to overcome?
So also the biggest challenge is to actually just get awareness out there. You know, I was working and operating a not-for-profit, so I've had to dedicate my own time to this. The biggest opportunity to communicate is through being a guest on this podcast, is through speaking with media, is getting your story out there so people are aware of what's going on. So one of the biggest opportunities was to connect with journalists, to get in LGBTQ journals, was to be on CNN, was to be in The Guardian. So by being consistent in your communication and quite relentless, you know, sometimes it might be the middle of the night and I'll email a journalist and they may come back or they may not. But from that, then you go speak at events. As a keynote speaker, I've spoken at many virtual events in this past year. The other opportunities out there are speaking with organizations which have already done something like this. So the Bingham Cup, which is the Gay Rugby Union World Cup, has been held for the last 20 plus years almost. I spoke with somebody who organized the Bingham Cup when it was held in Sydney. So they were able to share their learnings, connected with the LGBTQ plus sporting community, the Gay Games, the Compete Sports Diversity Council here in Australia, Pride in Sport, Proud to Play. So there are people who already have policies, frameworks, some advice. Once you have that in place, when you start having the conversations about a sponsorship, is this something you're going to help us with? They're going to look to what your credence is, what you already have in place. The fact we set up a not-for-profit, we have an ABN, we have a board, there's a strong level of governance, have the relationships with the sporting bodies to provide the referees and judges, have the venue, people who registered their intent to participate in the championships, have a boxing program, which has been developed with the top levels of people within the sport in this country, which are in a much stronger position than, I have an idea, that's great, what have you done about it? Your consistency, when you communicate and you build the relationships, enable you to deliver an event, it makes it much easier than to go and say to a company, I want to do X, that's great, what have you done? I've done A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Then you can have a stronger conversation. And with the social proof of being on CNN, being on the news and everything else that we've done and I've done personally, then people can see, well, you've been communicating this for the last 2 years. All the things we've achieved so far demonstrates what we can deliver.
So let's talk about sponsorship. Let's talk about money, because I don't care what you say. Money is the grease that makes this thing happen. You can have as a big a community as you want. You can have all the marketing, free advertising you want. There still are costs involved in running an event this size. And I'm assuming it's more than me reaching in my pocket, giving you $500 and that's not going to cover it. So when you're out looking for sponsorship, I'm assuming you're looking for the right sponsors. You want people that are going to align themselves, that are not just going to give you money, but are going to give you both credibility and also exposure. Tell me about your goals with sponsorship and the type of sponsors that you want to have on board.
This is really, you know, alignment of values, alignment in delivering a positive social impact. You support the LGBTQ plus community in a meaningful way. So an example could be if you just display the rainbow flag during Pride Month, you say we support you, but you just want to make money from the community. So the estimated purchasing power of the LGBTQ plus community, the rainbow dollar, is $3.7 trillion. So it's a site. Think about all the allies and people like yourself who support the community. Pride Month is held, and then you take off the rainbow flag. 2 months later, you're then supporting people who are discriminating against the community, who stand for values which really are about discrimination or aren't really inclusive or diverse or equitable. You know, that's not really a great track record. So we want people who meaningfully support the community, have a track record, who really care. Evidence shows that people who support the community will be rewarded. I personally am not going to support a homophobic or an organization which has really been working against the community. You know, if you're publicly against same-sex marriage, you believe in the right to discriminate against LGBTQ plus people, then really I don't think you should be associated with what we're trying to do, because we want to disrupt that homophobia. At the same time, we understand that there are brands and organizations who maybe have not done something in this space and want to support and demonstrate that they really care about the LGBTQ plus and wider communities. So we're looking for organizations who just maybe starting out on this journey want to contribute because they believe in what we're doing. They stand against discrimination. They stand against this homophobia. They want to see more people involved in the sport. They want to see more people involved in community activities. So it's really, we're an inclusive organization. So there's the Human Rights Campaign. There's the Diversity Council of Australia. There's the Australian Workplace Equality Index. There are many organizations who've done fantastic work in this space that would be a natural fit. But there are also many, many organizations. It could be a small business, a medium enterprise who maybe have not done much in this space but want to do something. Those are the organizations you want to speak with.
And I think that that's important because, you know, like there is greenwashing, there's pride washing. Yeah, there are lots of organizations, as you said, that support the rainbow flag, you know, for 30 days and then go on and support something else and then go on and support something else. It's not the fact that they're supporting other people. Large corporations should support a large multitude of organizations. Absolutely. That's part of being a global citizen, but they can't be contradictory. You know, you have to have a set of beliefs. You have to sit there and say, these are the types of groups that we support. And they need to be congruent.
There are two organizations, both award-winning in the LGBTQ inclusion space. Last year, during Pride Month, I was just tracking what they were doing on LinkedIn. One organization won a Platinum Award for a campaign to enable greater LGBTQ plus inclusion within their organization. I saw the video. I actually looked at this project. It was awesome. It was to enable greater inclusion for LGBTQIA plus women. You could see people who were visibly moved all over the world, a virtual allyship community. It was fantastic. And the post and marketing was not about, we are a brand who won this award. Everything was to do with, these are the people we are helping. These were the people who were involved. It was deeply moving. Another organization did Pride Month post, and it was a rainbow flag with a link to their website. When they went on their website, I could see nothing. It was about a standard inclusion and diversity page with no visible images of LGBTQ plus people. I finally found their internal pride group. I'm like, well, wait a minute, why did you not put at least your pride group in your post? It was just a rainbow flag and we do X, Y, and Z. Later in that month, that same organization spoke about Alan Turing. He was obviously seen as the father of the modern computer. And they did a post about Alan Turing, but failed to mention that Alan Turing was gay and was persecuted for being gay. So seriously, during Pride Month, you're demonstrating your credentials. At the same time, one of the most visibly important people from LGBTQ plus history who was actually the face of the £50 note in the UK, you didn't even mention Alan Turing was gay, but you mentioned everything to do with computing and innovation. So for me, that's two chalk and cheese. I'm sure they've done both great work, but I could see the visible support of the community versus, yes, we support you, but the support was less visible.
And I'm sure that translates into how the community supports those organizations.
Yeah. For me, one was just more deep and meaningful, because marketing, when you just market the organization, we do X, Y, and Z, and you fail to mention the community, you fail to mention customers, you fail to mention your employees. I kind of feel, do you really support us versus those who say, we do X, Y, and Z, and they involve their employees, they involve the community, they involve their customers during storytelling. And I can see, oh, wow, you know, you sponsored this event, and that event, then you sponsored a different event, you supported a different event, and you're supporting multiple community events. That just really shows there's a level of care, compassion. And I believe those companies should be rewarded by their customers, because they there's a genuine support for the community, and versus just somebody who, you know, throws $50 to support Drone Pride. Well, that $50 goes a long way, but there's nothing more than visibly standing alongside a community.
So I got two quick questions for you, and then I'm going to let you go. The first question is, what are your goals? What do you want to achieve with the World Gray Boxing Championship? If you could have a perfect outcome at March, when you're looking back at March 2023 after the event, and sit there and say, we accomplished this and I'm so happy, what would that be?
That would be people from all over the world come and participate in the championships. We've changed hearts and minds. So the stats at the moment are 90% of the LGBTQ plus community consider homophobia, transphobia a major problem in sport. 50% of LGBTQI plus Americans have been abused, insulted while playing, watching, or talking about sport. So a wider goal for me is to start reversing some of those statistics. The dream goal is that there are more LGBTQ boxing clubs, more people involved in the sport. But people will consider, wait a minute, wow, have you seen what these people have done, what they have achieved? So we've been able to take LGBTQ plus inclusion in boxing just from an idea to a single event to multiple events happening all over the world. There are more clubs, there are more LGBTQ plus visible people within the sport, and there are more active allies within the sport.
So if people need to find you, the best way to find you is through worldgayboxingchampionships.org, correct?
Definitely. Yeah.
That's the best World place to find Gay me. Boxing Championships with an S.org. Yeah. And I'll have that in the show notes as well. But here's the last question. It's the last question I ask every time. And I asked you this 2 years ago. When you get off a stage or you get out of a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Courage and inclusion. I finished my fight after my first fight was on the 10th of December. My walkout song was Relaxed by Frankie Goes to Hollywood and the rainbow flag. I felt visibly supported. It was an awesome experience. You know, I proved that I could get in the ring, fight and belong, and had the support from the crowd. When I left, I just had that moment to myself. You know, wow, I've just achieved one of my biggest goals in my life. And I want people to feel that they're included. And they also had the courage to go and do something. Because when you have the courage to do your own dreams, you inspire others. And when we all feel included, these conversations don't need to happen so often. We don't talk about homophobia. We don't talk about racism. We talk about how we can make the world a better place and a better environment for others. And we do that through courage and inclusion.
Marvelous. Martin, again, always awesome to have you on the show. Hopefully we can do this again in Australia, February 18th to the 22nd, 2023, the World Gay Boxing Championships.org. Thank you for being such an amazing guest.
Thank you, Ben, and I can't wait to welcome you to my home city.
Cheers.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?